I was away last week at something called Credo, which is a ministry of the Church Pension Fund for clergy to get away. And this one was focused on retired clergy. It was a quiet setting, and the weather was great. They needed rain. They were having a drought. And in earnest, they got some on Monday. Travel to and from was pretty good with only one delay. But boy, the airport was crazy. So the setting is an Episcopal retreat center about an hour from New Orleans. The goal of the time was to write or update our rule of life. Now, a rule of life is something that we create for ourselves, although there are some out there that you can use. But our task was to create one for ourselves that would define us and be possible for us to do in our daily prayer and worship and study. On a walk, I was contemplating some of this and the power of the Trinity of God. How does that look? And I continued down the sidewalk and looked, and there were three geese standing quietly in the orange and brown and green leaves and pine needles. Now, you all know these Canada geese. There's very rarely that few together, but there they stood. In case you don't know, the goose is a Celtic symbol of the Holy Spirit. Well, these three all look the same, and I was struck by the fact that their sameness was a witness to the three in one of the Trinity, one same God. There's more than one way for God to interact and to be present with us. And while at first glance the geese looked exactly alike, had I taken the time to watch them, I might have seen some differences. Developing a rule of life is how we decide to live into being a disciple and a way to do it. A lot of the material that was offered to us focused on creativity of change. Creativity and change. Which kind of describes how we're going to enter the process of redefining or reimagining St. Francis. Some of the bullet points that were offered were: creativity is the ability to look at the ordinary and see the extraordinary. Every act can be a creative one. A different lens may change your perspective. There is more than one right answer. Problems can be reframed into opportunities. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. I'm sure that all of those bullet points will be part of our lives as we go forward into change, into our adventure. We won't be afraid to make mistakes. We'll work together, and we'll reframe all those mistakes into opportunities. I feel pretty confident about that. But I would be remiss if I just totally ignored today's gospel lesson. All the readings today were reminders of the end times. The end is near. I haven't seen one of those signs on cardboard in a while. So there are several ways to interpret Matthew's writing today in the form of a sermon message. Sometimes it's used as a stewardship message that conveys the importance of giving and sharing with the church and with others, the importance of stewardship. Unfortunately, it can be used as a message of condemnation, focusing on the place where there is gnashing of teeth. But another approach, which I prefer, is to read it as a message of the freedom that comes through Jesus. To not be afraid and to not let fear be the managing message of your life. The third slave acted out of fear. And he finds himself in exactly the place that he was afraid to be. The place that caused him to act out of fear originally. He buried his talent. And I'm reminded of the catchy hymn that children love to sing, "This little light of mine, let it shine." Hide it under a basket. No! I'm going to let it shine. We're called by this passage to resist fear and to act in faith. It's interesting to note, and perhaps someone figured this out before I did, that the talent, the money denomination that is referred to, that was entrusted to the three slaves, is quite a large sum of money. And it's common with time for talent to mean something other, because we don't have talent coins, but we do have talents, gifts from God, gifts that we can offer, gifts that we can share. We think of talents as special skills or abilities, gifts from God. Ultimately, what Jesus is saying is that following him is not necessarily safe. It's not necessarily easy. We have to make difficult decisions about the gifts that we have been given and the talents that we have to offer and how we offer them. The greatest gift that we have to offer is the good news. The good news that God gives us, and the fact that God gives us what we need, and that we are called to share, not hide away, but share and live into our abundance. Live and share our abundance with everyone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the sin of respectable people is running from responsibility. We are responsible for one another. We are our brother's keeper. So, St. Francis, I invite you onto a journey of adventure. We're going to adventure together over the next year. Advent's coming up, which is the new year of the church, and we have all kinds of possibilities and hopes and dreams to live into. And when we're discouraged, I invite you to remember to kick fear to the curb and embrace the promise and hope that Jesus has given us. Community, this is one of my St. John the Evangelist brother's quotes. Reach out to your community. Cultivate safe, trustworthy relationships. Practice keeping your word, maintaining confidentiality, offering safety. Nurture trust, from everyday words to big commitments. Seek to know and be known. Having built up trust and mutual love, we can better be the ones who unbind each other in times of trouble. We are community. We are family. In the context of what we read today in our scriptures, we know that there was a lot of focus about when the earth would be destroyed again, when Jesus would come again. And all of those things that people look to, well, they haven't happened yet. But what did happen and what does happen is that Jesus came and Jesus died for us. And that's where our energy needs to go, into following him and not fearing what might happen. Amen. So I invite you to stand and say together with me the words of the Nicene Creed.